Okay, tonight's learning should be dedicated to Nishmas Moshe Lazer ben Avram Yitzchak. We started a minig here a few years ago. Halavai, we wouldn't have to keep this minig, but we've been learning before Tisha B'Av some of the Gemaras in Maseches Gittin that talk about the Churban, that talk about the tragedy, casualties, to put us in the mindset to get us ready, to prepare us for Tisha B'Av, put us in the right mindset, maybe this year, to give us other things to learn, yeah, on Shabbos, or maybe even on Tisha B'Av, things that are permissible to be learned over Tisha B'Av. And we're going to pick up where we left off last year. So if anyone has a Gemara Gittin in front of them, we're holding over here on Nun Vav Amid Beis. Just to remind everyone from where we left off last year, a very quick recap. We were talking last time we were discussing what was going on during Bayis Sheni. And the uniqueness of what was going on during Bayis Sheni was that there was a lot of internal politics between the Jewish people, between the Jewish groups, of how to deal with the Romans. Should we fight back? Should we take it sitting? What should we do? How should we do it? And that itself was a terrible tragedy, all of the interpersonal fighting between the two Jewish groups. And the way we left off last time, we were discussing Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was one of the great leaders at the time of the Churban as well as post the Churban. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai lived for 120 years. The first 40 years of his life, he worked. He had some form of a job. The second 40 years of his life, he went to yeshiva to learn. And the last 40 years of his life, he was a Rebbe. He was a master Rebbe. He would go all over the country teaching Torah. He was an unbelievable Marbitz Torah. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was trapped in Yerushalayim because the troublemakers wanted so desperately to go to war against the Romans that they basically led Yerushalayim to be stuck in the siege, Yerushalayim from the inside even. And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wanted to get out to speak to Vespasian. He wanted to talk to him and explain to him the Jewish side of things. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai faked his own death. Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai faked his death. First he had a meeting with his nephew. His nephew was Abba Sikra. Abba Sikra was part of the group of those people who wanted to continue fighting the Romans at all cost. And even meeting with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was dangerous for his nephew. But they came up with this lavish idea that Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai is going to fake his death, and that way he's going to sneak out of the city. And when he sneaks out of the city, he's going to go speak to Vespasian, explain to Vespasian what the Jewish people are doing. So the Gemara tells us, then Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai got to the border, and he told it, and he was dead. So his students that were accompanying his supposed coffin told the guards were going to bury him. They were skeptical. They wanted to put swords through the coffin to make sure he was really dead, which would have ruined his entire plan. The Gemara says they didn't end up doing it, and Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai was able to get to freedom. He was able to leave Yerushalayim. He went to speak to Vespasian, and he told Vespasian, "You're going to be the king," and we all know the story. Vespasian was so impressed with Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, he gave him wishes, and he told him, "I'll give you certain things." And Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked him for three things. One of the things Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked him for was, "Please leave Yavne v'Chachomeho. Please leave a city untouched, unaffected, where the Chachomim can study Torah throughout the Churban," which is an amazing idea in Jewish history, that no matter what is going on, and all the trials and tribulations, we should have one spot where there can be people still learning Torah, which is something we spoke about many times in the past, that there will always be a part of Klal Yisrael that will survive. There'll never be a time where all of Klal Yisrael is eradicated, where all of Klal Yisrael is destroyed. There'll always be a part somewhere that will be surviving. We know the famous story with the Chafetz Chaim. They came to the Chafetz Chaim in the early 1930s, way before Hitler was in power in Germany. And they asked the Chafetz Chaim, "Where's going to be the next place?" So he said, "Don't worry, Yaakov Avinu told us that even if one camp gets attacked, there'll always be another camp that survives." So he said, "Chafetz Chaim, where's the other camp going to be?" "Where?" So everyone likes to answer that the Chafetz Chaim said America. But the Chafetz Chaim did not answer America. The Chafetz Chaim answered, "It's going to be in Eretz Yisrael." Baruch Hashem, today maybe we have two places where Klal Yisrael rebuilt after the Churban. But there's always going to be places. And that's why Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai asked for Yavne v'Chachomeh. He also asked for doctors to cure Reb Tzadik, who was fasting for long periods of time, and he also asked for the family of Reb Gamliel not to be harmed. And then we spoke about this last year, I'll just mention it again. The Gemara points out, why didn't Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai ask for bigger? Why didn't Reb Yochanan ben Zakkai ask that Yerushalayim be speared, that Chor Beis HaMikdash shouldn't happen? So the Gemara tells us an amazing pasuk, which really, really needs to be reminded of throughout Tisha B'Av. Quotes a pasuk in Yeshaya, Meshiv Chachomim Ochur V'daitom Yiskeh. The Gemara tells us that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives a blockage. HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives bad advice for the tzaddikim in order that they should give us bad advice. Meaning, the way you read the Gemara Kipshutai, was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka blocked that idea for Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai not to do that. And the Marsha explains, the reason for that is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu sometimes wants, or the people are not deserving of good advice. The people aren't deserving of a certain outcome. So HaKadosh Baruch Hu has to block the vision, the advice of the tzaddikim, in order to not give the people good advice. Rabbi Soloveitchik said once, when people asked him, why was it that during the Holocaust, at least in the early stages of the Holocaust, why didn't more people run away? Why did more people flee? Why did more people try to get visas? Even if they could, it wasn't so easy to get. But why wasn't there more people who pushed to leave Europe? And Rabbi Soloveitchik answered this pasuk in Yeshaya, Meshiv Chachomim Ochor V'daitom Yiskel, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu B'davka wanted the tzaddikim, the gedolim of that time, to give bad advice, maybe, and tell them, no, don't go to Europe, don't leave Europe, stay here in America. Now again, without getting into all the historical backgrounds, no one in the wildest dreams could have imagined what would have happened in Europe, let alone come from a place like Germany. But that was Rabbi Soloveitchik's answer. His answer was this pasuk. Now the truth is, the Gemara actually continues and says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai wasn't so foolish. The Gemara says, Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai had a plan. What was his plan? Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai figured, if I ask them for that, they'll never give it to me. If I asked Vespasian not to destroy Yerushalayim, it's asking too much. We have a rule to fast, the Merubah Lo Tefasta. You grab too much, you don't grab anything. So Rabbi Yochanan ben Zakkai figured, that's overshooting. If I shoot for something smaller, perhaps I have a chance for it to succeed. But that's where we left off last year when we were talking. If you want to listen to other, we had, I think, two other shiurim about this. It's labeled on YU Torah. It's labeled Chorban through the eyes of Chazal. So if you want to take a look to previous years, that's where we discussed it. But we're going to start now on Nun Vav Amid Beis, where the Gemara is right before the lines get wide. These are pretty big blots of Gemara. So right before the Gemara gets wide, the Gemara starts off. The Gemara tells us that who took over Vespasian? Vespasian just got an email that he's now going to become emperor of Rome. He's no longer going to be a general who stuck fighting with the Jews in Israel. He has now been elevated to becoming a emperor in Rome. So he catches the first flight back to Rome. But who takes him over? So the Gemara tells us that they sent someone in his replacement. So the Gemara says, Mamish, the second line before it gets Y, says the Gemara, Ozil Shadre Letitus. They sent Titus to be in Vespasian's spot. Now, who was Titus? So Titus was either a son of Vespasian, or he was a stepson of Vespasian. He might have been Vespasian's biological son, or his wife's son, his stepson. The Ben Yehuda writes that the name Titus, the letters of the name spell the word tit, which is dirty and gross. So you already get a sense of who Titus was. And the Gemara tells us, Va'amar, and Titus said, Ey Elohim Matsur, Chosuboy, where is that God? Where is that God, that rock of the Jewish people? Where is that God? Says the Gemara, Zo, Titus HaRosha. This is referring to Titus. Shechire Vegidov Klape Malo. One of the flaws of Titus was he was terribly, terribly blaspheming in the eyes of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. He spoke so disrespectful, with such a chutzpah, about HaKadosh Baruch Hu and even to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Says the Gemara, what did Titus do so terribly wrong? Ma also, tofa zoyna biyodoy. He grabbed the zoyna, the nichnas lebeis kodshe HaKadoshim, and he went into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest spot in the holiest building in the holiest place. Ve'etziah Sefer Torah. And he took out a Sefer Torah, ve'ovar aleho aveiro. And he did an aveira. He lived with that zoyno in the Kodesh HaKadoshim on the Sefer Torah. That's like double whammy. He went into the holiest place, took the holiest object, and he did such a vile, such a terrible, disgusting sin of having relations with a zayna. In one of the kinnis we talk about, and hopefully we won't have to talk about it this year, Tisha B'Av, but if sadly Mashiach doesn't come between now and Sunday, we talk about how can it be that Titus HaRosh goes into the Kodesh HaKadoshim, the holiest of the holy, lives with a zayna, nothing happens to him. Yet Nadav Aviyu go into the Kodesh HaKadoshim with pure intentions. They want to bring kabanos. They want to get closer to Hashem. And boom, they get shot down right away. It seems unjust. It seems unfair. So that's one of the things we talk about in the kinnis, the apparent, I don't know, contradiction, but the contrast to what Titus did in the Lefnai Lefnim versus what Nadav Aviyu did and the very differences in their punishment. But the Gemara tells us it goes longer. The Natal Sayif, he then took a sword. The Gidur es ha-pareches, and he pierced the pareches. The pareches was separated between the Kodesh HaKadoshim. The Nasanes, and lo and behold, a miracle happened. Voyadam mivatsevet v'yotze. And blood started pouring out from the pareches. Ukesava, and Tito stood, harag es atzmoi. Tito stood that he killed Hashem. Because since the blood was pouring out, he thought he actually killed Hashem. So the Gemara says, so Tosfos has a kasha over here. This is really a general question. Why did Hashem do this? Why did Hashem make the pareches bleed? Why did Hashem give Titus that satisfaction, that misunderstanding, that he really did harm to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? So Tosfos learns, lohidia dekosh lefnei amokim chorben beis hamikdash. This is a very, very important theme. As you go through Tisha B'Av and you go through the Kinnis, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted to show the Jewish people, I'm also mourning over the Beis HaMikdash. I'm also feeling it. I'm also bleeding kaviyach. I'm also in pain over the Chorban Beis HaMikdash. And that's why HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed Titus and played along with Titus. And the problem is Titus took the message the wrong way. Titus said, oh, it must be that I defeated Hashem. While yet, according to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the message is supposed to be on the contrary, that I am in pain with the Jewish people. Shenemar, it says in the pasuk, "Tzayirecha bekerav mayadecha samu oisois oisi oisois sam oisois." Avachanu im emicha moicha chasin ka. Who is the power of Hashem? Mika moicha chasin the kosho she'ato shemein niatzu vegidufu shaloisei rosh b'shasi. How strong is Hashem that he can go through this? Hashem allowed Tita to play this game, the charade, to think that he defeated Hashem and not say a word. That's Hashem's gevura. The Beis Rabbi Shmuel Latana, the Beis Medrash Rabbi Shmuel, they went a little different. Micha Moicha Ba'elam Hashem. We say every single day in the davening. Micha Moicha Ba'elam Hashem. Who is strong? Ba'elam Hashem, says the Gemara. Micha Moicha Ba'almin. Who is strong like Hashem who's silent? The Lashon Elam, someone who can't talk. Which itself is an amazing message over here. That the greatest strength in life is silence. So many times we want to say something, we want to express a feeling, usually negative. We want to share, we want to gossip, we want to speak ill. The greatest gevur, the greatest power, it comes from our silence. Silence is power. If a person can be silent, it's not easy. So the Gemara is praising Soras HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that he was able to stay silent. Although Titus is doing such terrible, such over-the-top behavior, and yet HaKadosh Baruch Hu is silent through it all. Now the truth is that's a theme that we'll see Bli Nedra in the Kindness also, that we talk about how Hashem had to over control himself to allow the Chorban to happen. Because Hashem is so merciful, and he had to like hold back so much to allow the Chorban to take place. It was almost like Hashem had to go against his nature of giving and loving to us, to allow the Chorban to happen. But the Gemara says it goes further. Ma also, what did he do next? Not less a pareches. He ripped down the pareches. He made it into a basket. And he went around gathering all the kelim in the Beis HaMikdash. And he put them in his makeshift basket. And he put them on his boat. He wanted to now go back to Rome and get praised for what he did in Rome. So the Marsha asks, I think it's the Marsha. Again, in Mefarshim on these sugyas, it's basically going to be the Marsha, the Ben Yehuda, the Ein Yankiv. Those are the three major commentaries. Now, there are other Svarim that are written, but those are really the three major, and the Maral. Those are probably the four major commentaries who discuss these Gemaras Be'ikr. So if I say a pshat, it's probably from one of those four, if I don't remember always who said it. So they have a kasha, why did he have to take the pareches? Let me just take a basket. The point was the kelim, not the pareches. So the Mefarshim answer that he took the pareches because the pareches was his banner, was his sign of I defeated Hashem. So he wasn't taking, he wasn't leaving the pareches back. The pareches was his flag of I defeated Hashem. So that's why he was so proud to take the pareches with him, to bring it back to Rome, to get praised from his friends, to get praised from his peers over what he did to the Beis HaMikdash. Shenemar, it says the pasuk in Keheles, Uvechein Reisi Rishoyim, I saw evil people, Kivurim, burying, Uba'u Umimakim Kodesh Yalechu, and they came from a holy place, the Yishtakhu Be'ir, and they were forgotten in the city, Asher Kein Asu, Al Tikri Kivurim, El Kivutzim, don't read it to be buried, but rather read it to gather, meaning that, that Titus gathered the Kelim of the Beis HaMikdash. Al Tikri Kivutzim, El Tikri Vayishtakhu, I'm sorry, Al Tikri Kivurim, El Kivutzim, Al Tikri Vayishtakhu, El Vayishtabchu, that he's going to be praised when he comes back. Ikadami, the Gemara is another pshat, Kivurim Mamish, it means buried. Da'afilu Mili D'mitamrin, even those things that were hidden in the Beis HaMikdash, Igal Yelohoin, it somehow was revealed to him. When I read this Gemara, I'm reminded of what the Nazis used to do, that they would never let the Jews hide anything. If a Jew was found hiding anything somewhere on his body, in his clothing, they found everything. They wouldn't let anything go. Everything had to be taken. Everything had to be confiscated. Everything had to be taken away from them. Even if you hid something, even teeth and things like that that were b'chedrei chadarim, and the most private things, the Nazis made it their business to find ways to take that away from the Jewish people also. So Titus took everything that he could find, and even those things that were hidden, he somehow found even the hidden things he was able to get that he took, and now he's on his boat en route to Rome to show off what he accomplished in the Beis HaMikdash. Says the Gemara, Omad Olav Nachshosha B'yam L'tavoy. He met up with a terrible windstorm. The Mefarshim point out that this wasn't bad weather. This was only Titus was experiencing the bad weather. The rest of the ocean was calm, which itself is an amazing miracle. That only Titus had bad weather, which is why Titus realized, or at least he thought, that this was a heavenly sign, because everyone else was having good weather. And therefore only he was experiencing this abnormal wind. So Omar, he says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kimidoy ma'ani, I think, I feel, Shalekeyem shal'elu in gvuras el b'mayim. He says, I think the Jewish God only has power in the water. Why? Ba paroi tava b'mayim. Paroi, how did he get paroi? He got him in the water. Ba sisroi tava b'yam. He got sisroi in the water. Afu I made alai l'taveni b'mayim. He's trying to get me also to be drowned in the water. So the Mefarshim point out that Titus left out a very important storyline. If Titus is trying to show where Hashem's Gevura reigns in relative to water, he left out the Mabul. We know clearly Titus studied the Old Testament because he's quoting from Psukim by Parai. So if Titus studied the Old Testament, he must have known the story of the Mabul. He must have known of Parshas Noach. So why did he leave it out? So one of the answers that Mefarshim give is that the Mabul came onto the dry land. Titus was arguing that you Hashem have no sovereignty on the land. So since the Mabul was, the people were on the land, just the water came to them, that wouldn't be a good example. So Titus wanted examples of where Hashem had power only in the ocean, not anywhere in the dry land. So what happens over here? So can you imagine how he's talking to HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He tells God, God, I think you only have power in the water. I don't think you have any power in the ocean, in the land. And if you're all that almighty, come, let's go duke it out. Let's go battle it out on the dry land. And let's see how powerful you really are. So Tita says to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Im Giberhu, if you're really all that, if you're that strong, Yala liyabosha v'yasi imo mechama. Let's go to the dry land and have a war. Let's duke it out on the dry land. Yotisa basko v'omru loy. A basko came down from Shemayim and said to Titus, Rasha ben Rasha, you are a Rasha, the son of a Rasha, ben benoi shal Esav a Rasha, you're an enikel of Esav. So first of all, what does that have to do with anything? Why is it now a good time to learn about his yichus? Why is it a time for us to discuss his background? So some of Farshim point out that Esav also had a chesaron be'emunah ba'Kadosh Baruch Hu. Esav also lacked his emunah ba'Hashem, and because Esav also lacked emunah, that's why we connect it back to Esav. But in any case, we're reflecting on his background, on his family, that he stems from a long line of people that are that have no connection to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And Hashem tells him like this, Ber yokolo yeshli bo'ilomi. I have a very small creature in my world, the Yitushma, and it's called the Yitush. So most, I think, translated to be the gnat, small little itsy-bitsy fly. So what? Says the Gemara, it's called the Yitush. Amai kole ber yokolo. Why is it called a small creature? Dima'alano islo. It's so small that it can take food into its mouth, but it has no hole for it to go to the bathroom. That's how small it is. That it has such a small, teeny, teeny body that it can only put food in. It doesn't even have the ability to take food out. So, says the Gemara, and that's what's going to bring you down. Olo le'yabosha. Titus goes onto the dry land. What happened? The Yitush goes into his nose, and it pecks away at his brain for 7 years. Hashem showed Titus, you think I don't have power in this world? I'll show you that the smallest creature that I have, the most insignificant creature, will wreak havoc on your life, will make your life miserable. Flew through his nose, and it's continued to pound away at his brain for 7 years. Why exactly did HaKadosh Baruch Hu want to show it this way? Because Hashem wanted to show him that look what I can cause. Look at the craziness I can make your life with a very, very small thing. You know, it's an amazing thing how the powers of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, what he needs to do. Hashem can send a virus, which today we look at and say it's a common cold, but 2 years ago that virus was killing hundreds of thousands of people all over the world. A virus. Innocent virus. Which today, Baruch Hashem, we call it a cold and we move on. But 2 years ago, that virus was able to wreak havoc in the world. This yitush, this little itsy-butsy bug that we fly, shoo away with our hands, ultimately was able to bring down his entire life, causing terrible pain. This was the Musa Shemuz that Hashem was giving back to him, that you think that I don't have power, look and see the type of power that I ultimately have. So the Gemara tells us, it went through his nose, and it pecked away at his brain for 7 years. There's a whole discussion over here. I can't say I totally understand what they mean, but why exactly through the nose? What's the connection between the nose and the brain? It might have to do with speech. And one of, obviously, Titus' downfalls was the way he spoke to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the way he spoke about Hashem, and perhaps that's what caused him all of these types of issues and problems with this specific bug. So what happened? Says the Gemara, Yom Echad, one day, Havikacholef Ababa de Beinavcha. One day, Titus was walking past a blacksmith. Shoma kol azbasa. He heard the banging of the metal. Ishtik. It got the Yiddish to stop talking. The noise somehow quieted the sound, the pecking of the Yiddish. Amar, he said, Ikatakanta. So Tita said, I got a way to beat God. I will have someone sit by me all day long, banging the hammer, and I won't feel the pecking of the bug. So kol yoyim imaisi nafcha, every single day he'd bring a carpenter, umachi kameh, and he'd stand and put him in front of him. It would be his background music. He'd have him pounding, and that would deafen the yitush, and that would give him some form of comfort. Says the Gemara, "Lenachu yavli arba zuze." For a non-Jew, he paid him 4 zuz. The Israel, but for a Jew, Amrile, he said to him, "Mistaych de kochazis b'sanecha." He says to, arba zuze. Where to go? "Lenachu yavli arba zuze." The Israel, Amrile, to a Jew, he told him, "Mistaych de kochazis b'sanecha." You're lucky that you get to watch me be in pain. You're not getting a dime. Again, very typical. We saw the Nazis, they put Jews to work, no compensation, no payment, no back pay for all their work. So the Gemara tells us, Atos and Yamin for 30 days, Avad it worked. Mikan ve'elech, Kibun the dosh, dosh. After 30 days, it stopped working because, like everything else, he got used to it. And then Yitush got used to the noise. The noise no longer gave him any comfort and no longer gave him. So to me, I look at Titus and I say, Titus died with the most massive migraine you can imagine. Anyone who suffers from migraine knows it's a terrible, horrific uncomfortability. It really makes life very complicated. It makes life very difficult. It makes regular activities and chores a terrible burden. And that's what Titus lived with for 7 days. He was alive, and he had to live with that terrible, terrible pain before Motrin and Advil and Tylenol and painkillers. He lived with this terrible pecking at his brain. Again, the only thing I can compare it to is a horrific migraine. And if anyone has migraines or knows the people that have migraines, you understand that it's a terrible pain. You don't wish it upon your worst enemy. And I imagine in my head that that's similar, perhaps, to what Titus had to go through. The Gemara tells us that when Titus died, the Gemara says, Tanya Omer Pinchas ben Aruvya ani Ayisi ben Gedeli Raimi. I was among the great Romans, the great people in Rome, Ukshemes, and when he died, Patsu es Moichai, they cracked open Titus's head. Umotzaba Kitsipar, and they actually found in there like the size of a bird, Durar Mishkal Shnei Slaim, that weighed the size of two slime. Two slime, I wrote it down over here, are approximately a sella is a half an ounce. So these birds were quite heavy, meaning there was a thickness in his brain. Even though we said he started off with this little bug, by the time he died, there was some massive growth or massive entity that was in his brain. It says the Gemara, Umatzaba Kitzipa, Durar Mishkal Shnei Slaim, it weighed two slime. The Masnita Tanah that the Braisa Kigoizel was like a dove, Ben Shana, like a year old, Mishkal Shnei Litrin, that was the size of 2 liter. Rabbi Naktinan Piv Shal Nechoshes, it had a mouth of gold, Utsparnav Shal Barzel, and wings of iron. Okay? Now the Gemara gets even more interesting. Kavi Kameis, when Titus died, Amalhu Likilu Lahu Gavra, with the Badre Likitma Ashav Yome. He said, I want you to take my body, and I want you to cremate it, and spread it out on the seven seas. So the Jewish God should never find me and bring me to judgment. Amazing how to the end of his life he was so convinced that he could hide and run away from God. We all know, and ultimately Titus found out the hard way, that you can't run away from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. There is no way to run away. There is no hiding from the Yom HaDin. The Ben Yehuda points out that the Yitush, we said earlier, the Yitush has no, there's no way out of the Yitush. You go into the Yitush and you can't come out. So the Ben Yehuda says this is very apropos for Titus, because as we'll learn hopefully later tonight in the Gemara, if not, it comes up over Tisha B'Av, that one of the most horrific people in the Tisha B'Av story is actually during Ba'is Rishon, was Nevuzradon. Nevuzradon was known as the butcher Nevuzradon. He butchered millions and millions of Jews. The Gemara depicts it, the Kinnas depicts it, how he did it so violently, how he would throw babies against rocks, how he'd murder thousands of thousands, hundreds of thousands, millions of people. And yet at the end of everything, Nevuzradon did tshuva. Nevuzradon did tshuva. But Titus did not do tshuva. So the Ben Yehuda says the Yitush was the Musar. Why? Because the Yitush, you go in, you don't come out. There's no hole for excrement. So therefore, the Yitush was the right punishment for Titus, who never did tshuva. Titus, till the end, and we'll see even after he died, he still sticks to his guns. He's still such a mecharef or megadef. He still doesn't believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As opposed to other Rishoyim, the Vizradon, who does tshuva, and others who do tshuva, Titus never did tshuva even to the end of his life. And now we'll see what he does even post his death. Says the Gemara story. Unkelis bar Kloinikis bar Achse de Titus. There was a famous person named Unkelis. This is most likely, not everyone agrees, but most likely the Unkelis that we know on the side of the Chumash, for those people that are Maariv Sedras, so they read his commentary every single Shabbos, the Targum Unkelis. Who's Unkelis? So he's the son of Klunkelis bar Achse de Titus. He was actually the nephew of Titus. Titus's sister was Unkelis's mother. So the Gemara tells us the following story. Haviboyle Giyuri. Unkelis decided he wanted to be Megayer. Ozel Aske le Titus Benegida. He wanted to ask advice from his uncle, his feta Titus. The problem was Titus was dead already. So the Gemara says, no, he did a Benegida. he was able somehow to speak to the dead. He was able to talk to the dead. He was, again, obviously before, we Jews are not allowed to talk to the dead. That's a prohibition in the Torah. But Unkelus wasn't Jewish yet, so he was allowed to somehow get in touch with the dead and talk to the dead. And he brought back, so to say, Titus. He was able to have a conversation with good old Uncle Titus. Amalei, he asked Titus, Man choshev bahu alma? You know, Titus, you're in the next world. Tell me, who's important in the next world? Amalei Yisrael. He says, you know who's important in the next world? The Jewish people. They're the ones that are choshev. Again, in this world, we're definitely not choshev. In this world, we do not have any major status on the world stage. In this world, we're a mamish, a tipa, tipa, shemiyam. We're a 0.0.0.0.1% of the entire world. I wouldn't say that the Jews have major chashivas in this world. But in the next world, Titus tells us that we are considered chashiv. So Unkelus asked him, Mar litvuke buhu? So should I attach myself to these people? So now you have to remember, Titus is sitting now, he's in the afterlife. Titus just told his nephew that the Jewish people are important in the next world. So his nephew asked him, so should I become a ger? Amalei milayu nefishin. There's too many rules for being Jewish. V'lei motzis l'kimeni, you're not going to be able to keep all that. Which is not a bad advice. It's probably true. There are a whole list of mitzvahs for Jews to keep. So it's a lot easier to be a goy and to keep shevet mitzvahs b'nei reich. Fine. So Titus tells him, don't become a Jew. But you know what? Zil igre behu. Instead, don't join them, fight them. Zil igre behu alma. I'm giving you advice. My nephew, I'm giving you great advice. Go pick a fight with the Jewish people. And you know what? The Havis Resha. And then you will be on the top of the world. The Chassidut says in the Pasuk, Hayut Tzarei al Roish, Pasuk in Eicha, the Gemara Darshan's called Hametzal Yisrael. Anyone who causes pain to the Jewish people, Nase Roish, they become on top of the world. Now, we all know it's true. If you look at Jewish history, and you look at all the people that oppressed us, at the time when they oppressed us, they were attacked on the top of their world. The Romans, the Babylonians, when they oppressed us, they were on the top of the world. Where are they now? Now they're garnished, garnished. What's Rome? What's Bavel? What's Germany? Well, when the Nazis were killing Jews, at that time they were a massive power. The Third Reich was an unbelievable, powerful army. Even throughout history, go through all different events, whenever a country or a group attacked the Jewish people, this Gemara is very true. But the question is why? Why is Kol HaMeitzel Yisrael Nasa Roish? Why is it that in order to defeat the Jewish people, you have to be a power? So some learn Pashup Shat, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu won't just let any Tom, Dick, and Harry defeat us. We're too important. We're too chashuv. Not any group of bandits are going to bring us down. Only the top of the top is going to bring us down. But there's another pshat that the Mefarshim say, a very beautiful pshat. They say the reason why Kol HaMeitzel Yisrael Nasa Roish is because whoever causes pain to the Jewish people are actually doing the Jewish people a favor. Why? Because when you cause us pain, you make us become better. When the Jewish people are suffering, we're forced to improve. We're forced to do tshuva. We're forced to get better. So therefore, Zakti Mefarshim, if you're going to cause the Jewish people pain, you're really causing them to do tshuva. So you're causing them to be better. You have to get schar for that. So the schar that you get for causing us to be better is Nasa L'Rosh. That's why you become on top of the world, because you did a good thing. Obviously, it's not a good thing, but the thing that you did was you helped the Jewish people become better. And because you made us better, you get rewarded even for that activity of making the Yidden better. So he asks his Uncle Titus. Uncle Titus is not much help. Uncle Titus tells him to go cause pain to the Jewish people. So they say over and over from Reb Dessler, you know, we always think of Gehenim, that after Gehenim, you're a changed person. So you would think if Titus is in Gehenim, he must be a better cleansed person. He's clearly not a cleansed person. He tells his nephew to go attack the Jewish people. So Dessler points out, they see from over here that it's not like you go through it, you come out, you're a new person. He's still the same evil Titus, the same bad guy, the same Rasha Merusha as he was when he started out. So he asks his uncle, he says, Amalei, Dina Dahu Gavra B'mai, what exactly is your punishment up there? So he tells him, top of the Zayin Amar Aleph, B'mai Deposka Nafshe, I get what I did to myself. Meaning, the way I went out of this world is what they do to me. every day they gather me up, the dainilei, they judge me, the kololei, mevadrei ashev yomei, shev yomai, they spread me out over all the seven seas. I can't tell you, I actually know what this means, but it does not sound like a good way to experience the afterlife. But Unculus is not done yet. Unculus actually puts together a little bit of a bezdin over here to ask about the Jewish people. So the first person he goes to is Uncle Titus. The next person he goes to is also asking the Bilam ben Egida. He then goes to talk to Bilam. He wants to hear Bilam's take on the Jewish people. Amale, he says to Bilam, Man choshev bahu alma, who's considered important in the next world? Amale Yisrael, no, it's the Jewish people. They are important. So he says, so ma'al nidvukibu, should I attach myself to them? Should I become Jewish? Amale, he says to them, lo sidrish shloimosam v'teivosam kalayam. Don't seek out peace and good with them all of your days. Stay away from them. Stay away from them. They're not a good people to join up with. So Amale dina dahu gavra b'mai. What is his punishment? What's Bilam's punishment? Amale b'shichva zerer reiseches. He's sitting in a pile of burning semen. Why did Bilam get zera? Because either Bilam was a bal taiva, as we know that he used to live with his donkey, or because Bilam caused the Jewish people to sin with the women of Midian, and therefore Bilam gets to sit in a pile of burning zera. Okay, so that's second person that Unculus goes to get advice from. Who's the third person, and why does he go for three people? So Mefarshim actually point out that when you want to get etzah from someone, you should speak to three people. Right? He bounced things off of three people. So now why did he pick these three people? What's the common denominator between Bilam, Titus, and the next person, which we'll see, is Yashka? He brings up Yashka, right? Those are the three people he asks about Judaism. So at least Yashka was a Jew. I hear you want to ask a Jew about Judaism. So before I should point out that all these three people all sinned in three different ways. Bilam sinned. How's it go? Bilam sinned, and who was the first one? We have the first one was Titus. Titus was Avodah Zarah. Bilam was Yashka was Avodah Zarah. Bilam was Gilei Arayis. And Titus was Ritzich. Those three Averis, each one of those Averis destroy a part of who you are, and therefore they decided they want to speak to these three people about their outlook on Judaism. Fine. So they go to, who do they go to? The Poishe Yisrael. So if you have an old Gemara, the Gemara says they went to a Poishe Yisrael. Who's the Poishe Yisrael? The sinner of the Jewish people. So if you have on the side of the Gemara, they tell you that this is one of the famous Gemaras that were censored. We know that when the Gemara was written, they had to be very careful what they wrote about Yashka. Because if they write the wrong thing about Yashka, the Christians will go and kill the Jewish people. So they censored the Gemara over here. They wrote Poishe Yisrael. But really, it's Yashka. So he goes to Yashka. He asks Yashka, Man choshevahu almo? Who's important in the next world? Amalei Yisrael. So everyone gives the same answer. Three for three. Everyone agrees that in the next world, Yisrael is choshev. So ma'al ledvukei behu. So he asks him, so should I join the Jewish people? So Amalei, he says to him, Teivasam darash, ra'asam lo tidrash. He says, only do good with the Jewish people. Don't do any harm to the Jewish people. Why? Because kol ha'negeya, by anyone who touches them, ki'ilu negeya bevas eino. It's like you're sticking your finger in your eye. Everyone knows if you stick your finger in the eye, you're hurting yourself because now you can't see. You're harming yourself. Therefore, he says, stay away from the Jewish people. Don't cause them any harm. Amalei, dina dahu gav rabimai, what's his punishment? What's Yashka's punishment for starting a movement that caused so much pain and anguish to the Jewish people? Amalei b'tzaya reiseches. He's in a pile of burning manure. Dama Marcus Chazal tells, kol hamalik ola al divrei chachomim. Anyone who argues and disrespects the rabbis, nidon b'tzaya reiseches, he gets judged in a pile of burning manure. Says the Gemara, tochaz, you go ahead and see. Ma bein poishe Yisrael in neviyei umas olam. Look at the difference between a Poishe Yisrael, Yashka, who is a Jew who caused Jews to sin, versus Bilam and Titus. What's the difference? Says the Gemara. Because why? Look at their attitude. Look at what they say. Look at the advice that they give. Tanya, Omer Reb Eliezer, Bo ure'e kam migdoi lo koicho shobusha. Says the Gemara, taking us back to Kamsa bar Kamsa. Without going through the whole story, the Gemara tells us Akamsu bar Kamsa Chorvi Yerushalayim. Because of Kamsa and bar Kamsa, Yerushalayim was destroyed. What was the story? We all know the story that there were two people, one named Kamsa, one named bar Kamsa. There was a Baal Suda whose name is not even mentioned in the Gemara. He makes a party and the emails get mixed up. And he, instead of inviting his best friend, he ends up inviting his archenemy. And his enemy shows up to the party, and the Baal Suda kicks him out with such embarrassment, and none of the rabbis get involved, and he then goes and tattles to the Roman government, and ultimately leads to the Churban. Says the Gemara, Bo ure, go on and see, kamo gidoilo koicha shel busha. How powerful is embarrassing someone? Shareisiye HaKadosh Baruch Hu bar Kamsa, because HaKadosh Baruch Hu helped. Bar Kamsa the Hichiv as Beisoy the Nisraf as the Saraf as Echoloi to burn his house down, to destroy his Heichal all over Busha. So why is Busha Taka so important? Why is it so powerful? So the Mefarshim point out, because when you hurt someone, you embarrass him, you attack his neshama, his Tzelem Elikim, his essence. That's the most important part of a Jew. So when you embarrass a Jew, you hit his body, you punch a guy in the face, you break his arm. His arm is not who he is. Because you know what? After he dies, he doesn't have an arm anymore. But his essence, his tzelem elikim, his neshama, that's what you hurt when you embarrass him. And therefore, when a person gets embarrassed, it's a terrible thing. And therefore, the busha that the Bar Kamsa experienced, HaKadosh Baruch Hu went along with it. So the Mefarshim say, I thought the Jewish people did Averis. So they say it was a combination of factors. HaKadosh Baruch Hu allowed the Churban to happen part and parcel because of the busha that Bar Kamsa experienced. Let's be so careful about embarrassing another Jew, the terrible impact that it could have. The Gemara continues, and it tells us another story. Atani Galo ve'atani Galo saw Chariv Tor Malka. The city Tor Malka was destroyed because of a male chicken and a female chicken. You can't get weirder sounding than that. The Gemara says, because of chickens, the city of Tor Malka was destroyed. Says the Gemara, why? The having nihigi, there was a practice. Ki have a mafik chasna the chalosa, when they would take out the chasna and the kala, when they walk down the aisle, get ready to get married. Mafki kamayu tanigolo betanigolosa. They would have a chicken, a male chicken and a female chicken, go ahead of the chasna and the kala. Now today when we have a chasna, we have everyone walk down the aisle. Back then they would have chickens walk down the aisle before the chasna and the kala. Koima means to say, you should be fruitful and multiply like chickens. So I think the Mashal explained, because where does it say in the Pasuk, it says it by Adam, and it says it by Dogim and the Oifos. So you're not going to have fish walk down the aisle. Maybe this is why you should have sushi at the Chasana, okay? Sushi is the fish. But the Mashal writes that Gever, we know that a human is very similar to a chicken. The word gever is the same word used for a chicken, which is why we use a chicken for kaparis. So the Gemara says that they used to have these two chickens run down the aisle to be symbolic for pururavu. Now we all know, we mentioned this many times, that the one time in Jewish life where we're overly symbolic is weddings. Weddings has a lot of symbolism. We get married under the star, under the moon. We do a lot of symbolic things when it comes to weddings, specifically to be a good omen, to be a good mazel. So they used to have these two chickens, you know, now it's hard to imagine it, these two chickens running down in front of the chasna and the kala. Fine. Yom echad, one day, havi kecholif gunna diraymi. One time that there was a chasna, and a Roman soldier was there, shaklinu minayu, he grabbed the chickens. Nafli alayu, the Jews jumped on him. The Jews attacked this soldier for trying to steal their chicken. Now, you have to ask yourself, it's just a chicken, right? So Mefarshim explained that they thought that what the Romans were trying to do is they were trying to take away our Pruv Rivia. They thought that the Romans were trying to stop, by taking our chicken, they're going to stop our Simon Lepruv Rivia. Why would the Romans want to do that? Because we know, and we'll see, that the Jewish people were large. And just like when the Jewish people were large in Mitzrayim, that was the beginning of the end. Too many Jews, we gotta get rid of the Jews, there's too many of them. So the Jews maybe overreacted to this comment, or this action, and they thought this was a direct attack on their growth of the Jewish people. So they attacked the Roman soldier, and that did not end well. Says the Gemara, Nafal alayim b'chuno asoi, Amr lekesa mor dubach Yehudoi. So the Roman soldier who got attacked, he sent an email back to Rome. The Jewish people are revolting. Send in the troops. Also alayim, they came and attacked the Jewish people. So, you could say that the Jews did it to themselves. Why did they make such a big deal about a chicken? Okay, could be. The Gemara tells us, Ashviyad Mefachi Tamid, you have to be careful with whatever you do, because if you do things that are not thought out, you can end up making rash and perhaps bad decisions. So now Rome is mad at Eretz Yisrael because the Jews are revolting. So the Gemara tells us a story. Says the Gemara, Havi Bahu Ahu Bar Deroima. The Jews had a fellow named Bar Deroima. He was named Bar Deroima because he came from Derom. Came from that part of Eretz Yisrael. To have a kofetz mila, he was able to jump a mil. A mil is approximately 3,000 feet, which I think, according to my mathematics, comes out to be about a half a mile. He could jump a half a mile. Even Michael Jordan couldn't jump that far. He could jump a half a mile, and when he would jump, he would kill the soldiers in his jumping. He was like, you know, a Superman, Batman, and you know, a ninja, all wrapped in one. So he was like the Jewish people's, you know, protection. He was like a one-man show, his Bar Deroima. He was a Jew. Came from the Derom in Eretz Yisrael. So he was like he was going to be our guy to defeat the Romans. So the Gemara tells us, Shakli Kesel Letage. The Caesar took off his crown. Caesar was worried about this Bar Deroima. Va'os Ve'a'ari put his crown on the ground. Amar, Caesar said, Riboine Da'al Makule. The God of the entire world, inichilach, if it's nice to you, do not allow my entire kingdom, my entire empire, to be taken down by one person. Can you imagine how depressing that would be? A powerful army like Rome to be brought down by one Jewish guy? One Jewish guy who has flying powers is going to take down an entire Roman powerful country? So Caesar davens to Hashem. It's amazing. Caesar davens to Hashem that this one Jew should not defeat the Jewish people. Says the Gemara, Achshele Puma Lebar Deroime. A mistake came out from the mouth of our Bar Deroime, our superstar. He said something wrong. Va'amar, and he said, Haloy Atoy Elohim Zerachtonu. V'loy Seitze Elohim Mitzvaseinu. He said, Hashem, we don't need you when we go to war. We go to war, Hashem, we don't need you. We got this covered without you. Says the Gemara, David Nami Amar Hachi. David said the exact same thing in Tehillim. So why are you jumping on him? David, Atmu Yikamet Tmiya. David didn't say it as a statement. David said it as a question. Can we go to war without Hashem? And Bar Deroima said it as a statement. So the Marsha asks, how do we know that David put a question mark at the end of it? It's the same phrase. So Marsha says, because look at the content, the context of where this was written. David HaMelech said this in Tehillim, and he was giving over the praises to how Hashem saved the Jewish people. So if he's praising HaKadosh Baruch, he wasn't saying it as a praise to himself, rather he was saying it to a praise to Hashem. So this is always what is our downfall. Koichi v'oitzim yodi. When we think we're so smart and we're so talented and we're so powerful and we don't need Hashem, that's when we lose everything. And therefore, this Bar Deroima made a colossal, colossal mistake. He thought that he doesn't need Hashem. He thought he could do it on his own. I saw some of Farshim want to make it a little better. They want to say that Avada, he wasn't saying, I don't need Hashem. He was saying that we could do this al piteva. We don't need miracles. We could do this normally. We don't need Hashem's miracles. But either way, the Gemara learns that this was a colossal mistake. And the Gemara tells us what happens. Says the Gemara. Zog the Gemara what happens. Oh, Allah Beis HaKisa, he goes to the bathroom. Also, Darkenu, a snake comes, Shamte, Lekarcheshe, Venoch Nafshe. Snake comes, kills him. Gone, finished, done. His entire power is finished, he's done. And now the Jewish people have no more protection, no more superstars. Omar, Caesar said, since a miracle happened, Shavkin, I'm going to let the Jewish people slide. I'm feeling pretty good. This Ben Deroim is out of the picture. I don't have to worry about him. He's not going to bring me down. You know what? I'll let the Jews slide. I'll let them go this time. So what happened? Itgur v'achlu v'shasu. The Jews made a yomtiv. The city was so rejoicing. They just survived a potential Holocaust. They ate, they drank, they lit shraga, they lit candles. Adis ischase bilyoni de gushkina for berachet mila. There was so much light that you could see the ring, you could see the signet of the ring, whatever tzura was on the ring, you'd be able to see it from a mil away. Okay, that sounds good. Says the Gemara, Amma michto kochodu be Yehuda. Caesar said, what? The Jews think that they're rejoicing because they think that I can't handle them. They think that they're stronger than me. Hader asi ilayu. He said, you know what? I'm going back to get them. Now just imagine the emotions of the Jewish people here. The up and down of their emotions. On one hand, they're anticipating that they're going to get killed. Then Caesar says no. Now Caesar says yes. Am rabasi tlas mea alpe. 300,000. Shlife saife aila tur malka. Can you imagine 300,000 soldiers, Roman thugs, being entered into the city? The kotlu be tilsa yoime, the tilsa neilusa. And they went on a crusade. Crusade is not the right term, really. But they went on a killing spree for 3 days and for three nights. Now you can imagine the damage that 300,000 blood-hungry, blood-thirsty, disgusting Roman soldiers can do on a town. But the question is, what did the Jewish people do wrong? They were celebrating being saved. Isn't that what we do every Yom Tov? We celebrate being saved. So the Mashal learns they were celebrating not being saved. They were celebrating that they thought that they were better or that they are stronger than Caesar. They weren't celebrating Hashem. They took, again, same mistake that we often make, that we take Hashem out of the equation. It's about us, our smartness and our great strength and our greatness. And our, no, it's not us, it's Hashem. They should have focused solely on HaKadosh Baruch. So the Gemara tells us even something, to me, even more amazing. The Gemara says, U'bahach kisa helule v'chagogi v'lehaviyodi hani v'hani. Tor Malka was such a big city that the other side of the city had no idea what was going on. They were continuing to party. They didn't know that the other side of the city, their brothers were being annihilated, their brothers were being murdered. Lahavdil, in my mind a little bit, this reminds me, let's say during the Holocaust, it's not clear how much Hungarian Jews did or didn't know about the war, but for a good part, they weren't as aware of what the Polish and German Jews were suffering. They knew news did come in, Avada, they knew, not as extreme as the Gemara. But it's something to think about. You can have Jews in a continent. Here, Europe is a continent. This is a city. But here you have half a city totally unaware of what was happening in the other half of the city where Jews were being murdered and Jews were being killed. Gemara tells us, Apostle in Eicha, Bila Hashem, Hashem swallowed v'lechomo as kol neos Yaakov. And there was no rachmanis on the Jews. Ki asa rovin omer v'yechon elu shishim ribei ayores. This is 10,000 cities. Now what is 10,000 cities? 600,000 cities. Shahayulaliani Hamelech Bahar Hamelech. Har Hamelech consisted of 600,000 cities. Domer Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Rav Asi, Shishim Riba Ayoris. 600,000 cities, Hayulaliani Hamelech Bahar Hamelech. V'chol Achaz V'achaz Hayubo Ki Yoytzi Mitzrayim. And each of the 600,000 cities had 600,000 people in it. Now, what 600,000 times 600,000? Then, if you do it on your calculator, I think you get E. But it comes out to be, I think, in the billions, if I'm not mistaken. 600,000 times 600,000 is a whole heap load of Jews. That's how many people lived over here. Says the Gemara, more than that. Chutz mishalosh ha'ben kfalayim kiyotzei Mitzrayim. But there was three cities that didn't have 600,000 people in them. Had it had double 600,000, which is 1.2 million people living in them. Eluhain, what are these cities that had 1.2 million Jews? Kfar Bish, Kfar Shechilayim, Kfar Dekarya. These three cities had a population of 1.2 million Jews, 600,000 times 2. Says the Gemara, how do you get these names? Kfar Bish. How did the city get the name Kfar Bish? They would never give their house out to Orchim. They were anti-Hachnosis Orchim people. The Mashah says, you had 1.2 people in the city and no one did Hachnosis Orchim? Can you imagine what statement that is about the city? A city as large as 1.2 million, you can't find five nice people. You can't find 100 nice people. Not a one, the whole city, such a large population of 1.2 million. And no one wanted to do chesed. Kvar Shechilayim, how does the city get the name Kvar Shechilayim? Shoyser Parnasosa min Shechilayim. Their parnasa was from Shechilayim, which was some form of a vegetable, some form of a yerek. And the last one says the Gemara Kvar Dechariye. It was called the village of Dechariye. Amr Reb Yochanan, Shoyinishoseim, Yeledes Zecharim Tchila, Yeledes Nekeva Bachreinu. Because the women in that city would have a boy, then they'd have a girl, Upaisekis, and then they would stop having children. After they had their boy and girl, they would stop. But I saw an amazing pshat, a beautiful pshat, Api Drush. How to learn this Gemara. The Gemara says that Mefarshim say that Zachar, a male, represents Taira, and an Akeva represents Yira. So you know the famous Gemara in Baba Basra, the Gemara in Baba Basra says that a Bas first, if a person has a daughter first, it's a Simon Lebanon. It's a Simon that'll have sons later. So they want to learn the Gemara like this. That Bas Tchila means if you first have Yerushalayim, then you'll have Bonim, then you'll have Torah. You first have to have Yerushalayim. After you have Yerushalayim, then you will be Zoyche to have Torah. And that was the mistake with the city. They wanted to have Zocha first, then the Keva. They wanted to have Torah, and then Yerushalayim. It doesn't work that way. You first have to have Yerushalayim. When a person has Yerushalayim, then he could be Zoyche to Torah. Let's just finish this little stickle Gemara. The Gemara says over here, Ula says, I went to these cities. These cities were teeny. They couldn't hold 600,000 reeds, let alone 600,000 people. What are you talking about? So the Tzduki says, yeah, the Jews lied. They lied. They falsify the numbers. They lied. There's no 600,000 people living in these towns. The whole thing is bogus. Amrale, he said, no. Eretz Tzvi Ksiv. The Pasuk says in Yirmiyah, Eretz Tzvi. Right? Eretz Tzvi is the name of Reb Tzvi Freimer Sefer, the Klozhig governor we've spoken about in other years. Another one of the great tzaddikim we lost in the Holocaust. Reb Tzvi Freimer was murdered. I believe him, Adonik. He named the Sefer Eretz Tzvi. So the Eretz Yisrael is compared to a Tzvi, a deer. Why? Because a deer can't hold its skin. Why? Rashi explains that after a deer gets de-skinned, you can't put the skin back into the body because the skin shrinks. So too Eretz Yisrael, when we are living there, Ravcha, there's tons of space. But when we're not living in Eretz, Ula went there after the Chorban. We're kicked off the land. The land shrunk. When we're on the land, when we're living like we're supposed to, Eretz Yisrael spreads. And the Mefarshim explain, this is a siman, this is a sign that Eretz Yisrael is tailor-made for us. Right? Everyone knows that if you have a shirt that only fits you, your shoes only fit you, tailor-made for you. Eretz Yisrael is tailor-made for us. However, says the Gemara, it's only when we are living during the time of the Beis HaMikdash. When we're in the Beis HaMikdash, then Eretz Yisrael fits perfectly. It stretches. There's room for everyone. There's room for all. But Bizman Khurbani, there's not enough room for any of us because the Beis HaMikdash is not there. Eretz Yisrael shrinks. It no longer fits its proper size. Okay, we got a little further. We didn't get to everything. So if unfortunately we have to have another Tisha B'Av next year, Mr. Shem, maybe we'll get to some of the other Gemaras that are found over here in Maseches Gittin. Wishing everyone a wonderful evening. Have a good Shabbos, Mr. Shem. For those that want to listen to us on the Kinnis, we'll be on Zoom, we'll be in person. In my shul in Queens, if you want to listen, there'll be this exact same Zoom connection. Will be where you can listen to the Kinnis approximately 9:15 Sunday morning. Have a wonderful Shabbos and a wonderful evening.